I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Good to have you with us this Wednesday. Remember back in February when, in a speech, President Trump listed examples of recent terror attacks?
You look at what's happening in Germany. You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden. Who would believe this? Sweden.
It was hard to believe because nothing had actually happened the night before in Sweden. That was before a truck attack in Stockholm 2 months later. Still, implicit in Trump's remark was a mistaken sense that terrorism and other forms of extremism don't really catch hold in a stable and sensible country like Sweden. That's where we want to start the program today, because Sweden, like any place, is not immune to extremism. Many ISIS recruits in the Mideast arrived from Sweden. But also extremism of another kind, white power and nationalism, have a long history in the country. And now Swedish extremism has a link to the U.S. in the form of something called the Alt-Right Corporation. Lester Fader has reported on this with his colleague Edgar Mannheimer at BuzzFeed. Lester, what is the Alt-Right Corporation?
So the Alt-Right Corporation is a new company started by the white nationalist Richard Spencer here in the U.S. in partnership with a couple of Swedish institutions. And their goal, they say, is to create a more ideological Breitbart. The idea being that Breitbart has captured a large sector of readers on the right, particularly being anti-immigration. Their goal is to make that more specifically about protecting whiteness.
So we're basically talking white nationalism here, right? What is the political environment in Sweden that will give this group any traction? Will they find an audience?
The rhetoric in Sweden is actually very similar to that in the United States, which is this notion that the mainstream media is very hostile to groups that oppose immigration, that they're really censoring anti-immigrant voices. A number of websites have sprung up that allow for these voices to find space online. And they are gaining traction. A recent study found that half of Swedes are getting their news from what's called alternative media there. There does seem to be a very deep skepticism of mainstream media, particularly in regards to immigration.
It sounds like there's a lot of tension right now in Sweden. Like, if you walk down the streets of Stockholm, do you get a sense of that? Or is it all kind of like undercover?
I spoke this morning with my reporting partner, Edgar, on this. And he said, in Stockholm, it's not that palpable, that it is sort of beneath the surface. But definitely we're seeing a more intensified version of the dividing lines that have been there all along. And some strange things on the margins. There have been a couple marches by Nazi groups in the past 6 months. And that's just one indication of a real surge in more extreme activity.
Lester, I got to say, this is not the liberal Sweden that makes Volvos and has 50% women in the prime minister's cabinet that we think of when we think Sweden. How long has this white power trend been growing there?
Sweden has been a surprising capital of white nationalism going back several decades. In the 90s, it was the largest producer of what's known as white power heavy metal, producing like three times as many white power bands as like all of the Nordic countries combined. So that is a huge part of that culture, despite the fact that it has this very progressive reputation.
So Richard Spencer trying to make inroads in Sweden. Meantime, we've seen the reactions in other countries across Europe to the mass arrival of refugees. There was Brexit, the populist movements we've seen in the Netherlands, France, and elsewhere. Is there kind of an unofficial global network of far-right groups?
Yeah, and it's not even groups. It's more like overlapping networks. Online communities were sort of organizing to support the National Front in France ahead of their elections. And those were networks that were active in supporting Trump. These kinds of things are happening almost without active coordination. That's part of what's interesting about Richard Spencer's venture. But there's a confluence of interests. There's a desire on the part of alt-right communities, new right communities, anti-immigrant communities broadly, to show examples of that affirm the way they see the world. And the internet makes it very easy for them to find each other.
So how much do these white power groups need each other to thrive?
I think that most of these networks have grown up organically inside of their countries. But it definitely bolsters spirits. It makes them more bold. And a sense of being able to win often can get more people involved. And it's not just the media networks or the conversations happening online that do that, but also things like Brexit, like Trump's victory, make immigration critics in a lot of different countries feel like they have a better shot at changing the debate.
Lester Fader, who's been reporting on the white supremacist movements in Sweden with his colleague at BuzzFeed, Edgar Mannheimer. Thank you very much, Lester.
Thank you, Marco.